All right. Good evening. Good evening. So it's good to be back. Is my mic working all right? All right. It is so good to be back. And man, that band, y'all were rocking. Man, I looked through the windows and it was a party going on. Sometimes it feels good just to let loose, huh? That's what heaven's going to be like. You think it's going to be like this? I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, where are my Facebook friends? All right. God bless y'all. Y'all crazy. It's so good. For those of you who don't know me, we lived here in Hawaii for years. This was our home church with Pastor Bill and Danita and all of y'all, and y'all were our family. And I'm a martial arts instructor by trade. I don't know if I was a good one, but we had a big old school. Remember, it was located at the Ward Warehouse. It was underneath the spaghetti factory. Y'all, anybody trained from me back then? Raise your hand. Where are y'all? Oh, my gosh. Look at all these black belts. Security, watch these people. Well, the Lord blessed our time. And like Pastor Bill said, God called me on, which was, it was hard to leave. But when the Lord says follow, you can trust him, yeah? Because our relationship with him is built on love. And I mean, I wish I could say I left and, you know, it was just, you know, easy heading over there. No, I tell you, you look underneath the ocean, there's my heel tracks all the way up and then over the mountains in the Colorado. But because of that step of obedience to God, he did a great thing. He did a great thing. First in me, which I never expected. Because I had some undone business in my life that I actually had to allow the Lord to come in and start working in my life. And I've been a Christian for years, right? I mean, I love the Lord. I had been involved in ministry. But he wanted to do something deeper, and it required me trusting him. Trusting him with some of the toughest things in my life. And when I yielded to him in those areas, he went in, and like I said, God can unscramble eggs because I had some craziness in my life. And it'd come out every once in a while. Aye, aye, aye. And God did a good thing. And now he's got us reaching kids. Predominantly, that's where we spend a lot of our time, reaching youth. Juvenile offenders who've been arrested and incarcerated, ages 8 years old and up. And we love it. It's the most wonderful, hard thing we've ever done. And as a matter of fact, the first time that I shared my story or my testimony, it was with a group of kids in jail. They brought them in, and I was so nervous. There was about 75 of them, and they're like, you know, I walk in, they're like, what you gonna talk about, white Wonder Bread? And I was so nervous. These are gang members and everything, and they're all hard. They're like, you better bring it. What you gonna? And that was just the girls. So I was like, ooh, it's a tough crowd. Hey, my. And I was so nervous. So the guy bringing me in, he said, well, Victor, go ahead. He said, do your little martial art thing. I said, well, okay, I can do that. So I ended up taking a pair of nunchucks and swinging them around. And I had always hit things out of people's hands. And that day I decided to hit some out of the hands, this guy's hand and his mouth. And I said, oh, I can do this. But my shoulder was kind of not feeling good. I actually had put Bengay on it, and I was had ice. And anyway, it didn't turn out too good. I had a guy get up there, and with something in his mouth, I swung the nunchucks. And right as I did, my arm popped out of the shoulder. It goes pop, and I hit the guy on his chin. And I hit him hard, and it split him all the way across his chin. I mean, it was pow. And then he stumbled and he leaned forward and he just started bleeding everywhere. And I was thinking, oh my gosh. My first time in a youth prison, and Lord, this is what I do? I just ruined your name and the ministry. I was a sick feeling, right? And then I'm looking and they're grabbing him and they're butterflying him. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And I turn and look. And these kids, these 75 kids who were looking at me like this earlier, like now they're like this. I'm like, man, this dude's crazy. This karate preacher, man, he ain't playing. This dude making people bleed. And with them new, all of a sudden I had courage. I was like, walk around, yeah, we're gonna preach it tonight. Better pay attention. I want some salvations. And you know what was amazing? Is God's spirit fell down on those kids. And shocked me. It shocked me so much, it put me in the ministry, working with them kids. When I share my story in the gospel, that Jesus loved them, that Jesus died for them. You know what? Just like that scripture says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, even little knucklehead kids, right? That he sent his only begotten son, that whoever, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's a future singer right there. Whoever would believe in him would not perish but have life everlasting. And I went, because that's who Jesus come for, the whosoever's. Whoever will really turn to him. And that day, out of those 75 kids, 53 responded to the invitation and accepted Jesus. And I mean, when they accept, it ain't like this. It's like, that's what I want. 53 stood up and gave their life to Christ. And I was so blown away, I had them sit down. I said, I don't think y'all understand what if you get saved, and if you commit, you can't leave. You're not getting out of jail. You can do your time. I had them sit down, and then I had them stand up again. I said, now think about it. Boom, 53 stood up again. And we were so blown away, I went over to the warden. I said, he was weeping. He said, I'm a Christian. I'm the warden of this place. He said, I've been praying that these kids would be touched by the Lord. And he said, it happened today. Man, it gave me chicken bump. I was like, boom. And then that's why we started reaching them. And people say, how do you know that that's what you were supposed to do? One, from the fruit, but something happened that day that blew me away. But I got to back up first. 3 months earlier, before I ever come in my first place, right? 3 months earlier, me and my wife are out on a date. Because it's good for husbands to date your wives. Right, wives? Amen? I better look, some of the dudes looking at me like, you were all funny till you went there. Holly boy. You know something? My wife and I are leaving the mall on our little date night, and a carload of gangbangers pull up next to us. And I look down, and they got the music, and they're intimidating looking. It's the kind of you, so I'm going to look straightforward right now. I'm going to put on, K-Light. La, 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 la. Bless the Lord. And then I had this sense like I heard this voice say, tell them about me. I was like, I rebuke that voice right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. But it was the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that draws you and then leads you, never drives you. Holy Spirit, and he said, no, tell him. I was like, Lord, I'm on a date night. Oh, that's good. And then I look, man, kid had a knife in the back seat, a big old balisong knife. He's kind of opening it like this, like they were garden shears. I was thinking, oh man, they packing, Lord, too. But I went ahead and obeyed. I said, honey, and Eileen, is she outside or is she inside? Oh, there, hey honey, there she is right there. That's my righteous hottie, that's what I call her, right there. 23 years. And 5 children later. But we in the car, she's pregnant for our 4th baby. And when I tell her that, she's a godly woman, man. Because how many wives would do this? All right, honey. And then she just rolled down the window, and then she went, and then her belly's out there like that. I bumped the horn. I look at those guys. I bumped the horn. They got music. I said, hey. And the guy looks up at me. I said, pull over. I want to talk to you. I gave my best intimidating look. And they're like, God, I ain't pulling over. And that was good enough for me. I was like, Lord, your servant, listen, bless me now. And again, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, come on, you can do better than that. Because I used to be an antagonist, believe it or not. I'd aggravate people. And I liked it. And it's amazing how the Lord would take something and turn around for his good, right? So I bumped the horn again. The guy runs and said, what? I said, pull over, man. I want to talk to y'all. He said, I ain't pulling over. And I went, what, you afraid of an old man? They did. And then I was in my minivan. I said, yeah. Honey, act tough. Suck that belly in a little bit. Come on. I got out the car. They piled out, and I got out. And then I'm walking through, and I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm going to say. I didn't think about it. The ADDZ thing I got. Sometimes I act, and I don't think. I'm like, oh, man. And all of a sudden, here they come. And then I remember that kid had that knife. I said, stop. Stop. I saw you had a knife. And they all did like that. He said, well, you a cop? And I was like, oh, I was thinking to myself, I was a cross guard worker one time in the third grade. I did have a sign and a whistle. I said, no, I'm not a cop, but I'm a master of martial arts. I think that freaked them out more. They're like, you lying. I said, no, I've actually produced over 30 world champions. The current national champion in Kumite is one of my black belts, and he ain't much older than you. He said, you lying. I said, no, I saw you had a knife. Get that knife. I'm going to show you how to open and close it the right way. And they were like, this dude's crazy, man. I said, get it. So he did. You know, they were half lit anyway. He goes in, boom, he gets the knife out, brings it to me, and then I did a little demonstration with it. Shush, 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 shush. Fing! And then stuck him in his neck. Pow! What you going to do now, huh? The oldsters rule. No, I'm just joking. I didn't do that. So that'd be mean. That's funny, but it'd be mean. Why you poke me, man? No. So I told him, I said, look, the real reason I pulled you over is to tell you about the relationship I have with the real master, Jesus Christ. And I shared my faith with them in a simple way, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A couple of those kids had never even heard the gospel before. Is that not amazing? There are people that have never simply heard the simple gospel. And we confuse it and make it up. It's just simple. Jesus came and died on the cross for our sin, that we wouldn't have to die and spend eternity in hell. And you know what? Three of those boys let me pray with them right there underneath the overlight. And as soon as we finished praying, one of their friends came up. He was walking, and he started screaming at us. And he had real big hair and was kind of waving in the wind. I was like, ooh, what's this dude? And he's cussing. He's screaming at me. I'm like, I don't know him. And he's cussing at the Bible. He's cussing at Jesus. He's cussing God. I mean, the filthy language. And his friends actually had to grab him. I was like, thank God. Yeah, grab him. You know. And they're telling him, dude, man, this guy's all right. What? And he said, don't you be talking about God. God don't love me. He said, if God loved me, why would he let me go through everything? Why would he cause all the crap that's happened in my life? And he's still talking about his father, gang member, his uncle's gang member. That's all he ever known. And he's seen injustices. And I thought, man, let me tell you, that's never God's perfect intention plan for you. He'll use it. But he didn't want to hear it. And all I could tell him is, the truth remains the same, even though you think and feel otherwise. God's word is true, regardless of how you feel. In any situation, God loves you. He stormed off. And that really really got us. My wife was in the car. She's like, honey, wow. I was like, I know, that was crazy. And And every time I, you know, thought about that kid, I prayed for him. But now let me fast forward. My first time in that youth prison, 75 kids, right? Guess who was in the jail? That kid with the big hair. He had got arrested and incarcerated. And I'm standing up there, the nunchuck deal, and I'm preaching, and he's in the back. He had that hair, you know. I was like, man, don't they shave y'all head or something? But guess what? That day when I presented the gospel in a simple way, guess who raised his hand? And guess who stood up? Big hair kid. And he gave his life to the Lord that day. And you know what? We handed out Bibles, and when I went around to the back row, sometimes they want you to sign the Bible, right? He said, hey, you sign my Bible? And I said, yeah, man, sure. And I went, hey, you remember me? He goes, yeah. I said, look who's in the jail now. No, I didn't know. You want a hamburger? Oh, no, you're in jail. Okay, I'm going. I said, hey, buddy, I just got to ask you simply, why today? I'm just asking you, why today? And never forget, he looked up at me, even though he was a teenager, he looked at me like a man. He said, you told me that Jesus would live his life in me and through me. He said, I'm tired of living my life for myself. I said, yeah, you're right. That's it right there. And that day, that kid's life got changed forever. And it's because of the simple gospel that God loves us. I don't understand it, why God loves us. But we put my story in book form, and we've been able to hand out about 30,000 copies of it so far to kids. And then we made this film for kids who are incarcerated. That's why I made the film, because there's 1,200 centers around the country, and I think last year I spoke 129 times or something, and I'm tired. I ain't tired. I mean, I think I'm speaking or got events of like 12 times this week while we're here in Hawaii relaxing. But I say, praise the Lord. Yeah. And you know what? As a matter of fact, yesterday, we showed the film, this little documentary film, for the first time to a group of locked up kids here in Hawaii. And we called it our little test group. And they brought 20 kids in, both girls and guys. And you know, these are your local kids, right? And they're walking down the hall cussing. Well, we gotta go, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're gonna watch some film, don't watch some movie. The high little boy. The girls are like, shut up, get in there. But I gripe. I slap you. And they get in, and Mona and Fabian, who are dear, dear, closer than friends, they're family. They're the state directors for our ministry out here. They go in every week, twice a week, to disciple and then teach leadership to these kids. And then with some friends, they cooked food, had it catered, fed these kids, which was good food. They loved that. And then we showed the film. It was about 20 kids. And at the end, there's a little place for the prayer, and I got up, and I was kind of nervous, and I was just like, did anybody pray the prayer? Or you want to pray the prayer? Raise your hand. You know, because I didn't know if they were going to be like, nine of the kids raised their hand. 9 of the 20. And you know what freaked me out too? 2 staff members. Like, I prayed that prayer too. So we're excited. We're excited what God's doing. And it all goes back to the gospel. I like John 3:16. How many of you even heard that scripture before you were saved? Raise your hand. It's popular. You know who made it popular, really popular more recently? Was Tim Tebow. Remember him? He actually, when he would blacken his eyes, right, with the scripture, John 3:16, in the 2009 championship game, They said about 92 million people conducted a web search for the term. That's the Palm Beach newspaper that reported that, the Post. And during that amazing game against the Steelers, anybody watch that game? That was a crazy game, wasn't it? Yeah, sorry, Steelers fans. But here's the deal. The three-number sequence popped up more than a few times, CBS reported. John 3:16, 3:16, right? The brilliant commentator said, Tebow completed 10 passes, and that means he averaged 31.6 yards per pass. His final pass was to Thomas, who just happened to have been born on Christmas Day. And this, the Steeler-Bronco game, was the most watched wildcard game since 1988. And in the final quarter hour, the overnight rating in television was 31.6. How's that? John 3:16. Well, it says God loved the world, not gods. There are plenty of gods, but they're little g's. And those gods never deliver in your greatest time of need. Do you know that? People make gods out of everything. I've been to India, there's millions of gods. But you don't have to go to India where there's millions. You can be right here in the islands or the mainland. A god is anything that you put up, think about, have a form of idolatry or worship more than God Almighty. In California, where we stay, you know what most of the gods are? It's not necessarily money or cars or homes. It's just themselves. People say, I am the most important thing, and I will live my life the way I want it, regardless of what anybody else thinks. They call it, and then they make up their own rules for the game. That's what makes this world so crazy, right? Everybody has their own rules about what's good, what's not. It gets crazy. They call it moral relativism. Is that right? Is that like a college word? I kind of feel smart saying it. But that doesn't really work. That type of thinking where, okay, what's good for you may not be good for me, so don't tell me what to do. That you want to play that out to the end? That gets crazy, don't it? So, let's talk about the freedom for sexuality. Since our culture is saturated with sexuality. Am I right? Or am I just making this up? Come on, look. Hey, pornography? An eighth grade boy, a middle school boy can flip open his cell phone and get the most vile debauchery of pornography in literally 2 minutes. Then it would take a crazy Marine a lifetime of traveling the world to see back in the 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s. Myra, do you understand? And now a junior high kid can flip that open? Pornography is rampant, not only in the world accepted and it's normal, but in the church. It's in the church. Men and women. Because it's so easy, it's accessible, and people justify it. That's crazy. It's an abomination to the Lord because it goes outside of his boundaries of what he created. One man, one woman, intimacy and marriage. That's it. When you got that, one man, one woman, marriage with the ring, girls, you got to put a ring on it. Sorry, I've been around in prison kids way too long. But you know what I said, yeah, make them put a ring on it, but make them say I do too. Because my dad was a pimp. He had plenty of rings. That's my girl, that's my girl, that's my woman, that's my one man, one woman. Marriage. And then you can dive right on in. Have fun. God ordained it. I think the church should talk about it. Healthy sexuality, the way God designed it. Not the thing. And look, if you struggle, look, I ain't putting you down or whatever. I understand. I've struggled with lust in my past. I get it. But if you struggle with pornography because you got a smartphone, get a dumb phone. I mean, legit, you know, just, you know, get one you got to plug in for the internet. By the time you get online, you'll be past the lust. You're like, whatever. And believe me, the enemy comes. The one who does not love you. God loves you. The enemy to your soul is the devil. He is the opposite of love. He hates you. He hates you. Hate. Not angry, he hates. As a matter of fact, the enemy is so real that he studies and he stalks you to find out what your weaknesses are. What will make you trip? What will make you trigger? What will make you disbelieve the truth of God's word? And he'll whisper that stuff. And sometimes he doesn't have to yell. It's not the yelling that gets us. It's the consistent whispers. Hey, you stupid. God don't love you. If he loved you, that wouldn't happen. Oh, you ain't got no job. I thought you pray. You ain't got no man. You ugly. You gonna die ugly. Hey, that stuff can affect you to where you look in the mirror and you believe it. Instead of going, no, that is not the truth. I'm a princess of the king. I'm a child of God. He loves me. He created me with purpose. And he's given me power because I've surrendered my life to him. The same power that raised Christ from the dead actually dwells in me. So I can overcome. And his blood that he shed on the cross not only cleansed me for salvation, but it sanctifies me in my walk. That when I stumble, I can pray, Lord, please forgive me, and I'm cleansed. That's radical. That's the truth. I spoke one time, and when I say the demonic, the whole sexuality thing, there's perversion. There's spirits of perversion that come on people, and you know it. I mean, it gets weird, right? The person be looking at you like, hey. What are you doing? I remember I spoke at a while back, I spoke at a drug sex addiction. You're laughing so hard, I can't even think, girl. Hey! I need you mic'd up, because whenever I get sad, I'll just play it. I hear this, I love it. No, listen, I spoke at this sex addiction thing. People come out of sexual stuff. Anyway, man, afterwards, I'd spoke, and it was good. You know, the Lord blessed, and then they were going to pray for me. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm all right. And then a few of them got up, and I really sensed the Lord say, don't let that guy lay hands on you. And he was coming like, hey, I'll pray for you too. And I'd never heard the Lord say, don't let them lay hands on you. I was like, what? I don't. But, and they're like, oh, no, we're going to pray. And this guy, hey, they're going to. And I was freaked out. But I didn't do nothing. I just froze. I was like, okay, Lord, I'll take my body. So no. He put his hands on me, and they prayed. And sure enough, you guys, something weird started happening. For 3 days, I struggled with lust. Thoughts that were, it was horrible. No victory. At the end of 3 days, I was so wiped out and worn out, I prayed. It got so bad, I had to pray. Can you imagine that? Lord, it's come to this. I got to pray. I need help. And you know what? I said, God, please, please, I can't take this anymore. And I sensed the Lord say, you want to be healed? You want to be set free from this? I'm like, yeah. He said, have your wife pray for you. Have her anoint you with oil and pray for you. Tell her. I was like, is there another option here? Is there? You got a plan B? Because that one, that's some good news. It's a lust. I don't know about my wife. She a black belt, Lord. She may punch me. But it's funny we'd say that, but isn't that what Jesus asked the paralytic man, right? By the pool of Bethesda? Do you remember that? There's a guy, his legs didn't work for all them years. And Jesus looked at him and said, he asked him the question. I always scratch my head. He said, do you want to be made whole? Or do you want to be healed? That's a crazy question. This guy laying down with his healed, but what you think? I've been here long years. Everybody else makes it before me when the angel come and do that? What you think? The guy with the withered hand, he kicked me. He jumped over and dove in. And all of a sudden he's like, yeah! Too bad, little man. Hey, all them years, you know craziness happened. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, it was a miracle time. I think I'll just get in there first. Man, that guy was probably crawling. Come on, come on. Grabbing somebody. Boom. Never got. And Jesus asked him, why? I think it's because Jesus knows the heart of man. And sometimes people get satisfied in their dysfunction. They get okay with craziness. Or if they've been victimized, they're okay with being a victim. And they live like that. Poor me. My life so bad. It no good. And it's the way it is. Because that's the way my family was, and my family's family, and my family's family's family. And God's like, standing before you saying, don't you want better? You think you got to be addicted to meth in order to feel good? You think you got to go get with the prostitute? I've got better for you. Do you want to be made whole? Jesus asks you that tonight. Or do you want to stay a victim? Believe me, I understand that point too. But God is able. Just like when I obeyed him and I told my wife, I said, honey, you got to pray for me. She said, and I told her, she said, oh, okay. Sit down. And she went and got the anointing oil. And I was thinking, you know, Lord, in the name of Jesus. No, that girl undid the cap. She goes, the oil was coming on my head. It was dripping. I'm like, this, okay. And then when she prayed mad. I mean, it's like she was mad. She's like, in the name of Jesus, every foul spirit, your perversion, you get away from my husband. He's been set free. I was like, if I was a demon, I'd be scared. But guess what? After she finished praying, gone. I didn't struggle anymore. It was instant. And that was a miracle. I said, Lord, whoo, thank you. Every time I walk by that bottle of oil, yes, Lord. But you guys, I love this scripture. This love is an action. It's what God did for us. It's because we couldn't do anything in this area by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. You can't get salvation by yourself. Some of you will never be able to change your pattern of life or thinking apart from the power of God. I don't care if you're educated. I don't care if you're a tough man. I don't care if you're super qualified in every area of life. The sin nature, you will never win. It takes the power of God to come in. And I understand that. You talk about breaking generational stuff. I'm the first person in my family for three generations that never cheated on his wife or been divorced. And I've been married one time. My father, drug dealer, pimp, didn't claim me as his kid. My mom married six times. My biological dad went to a mental hospital for homicidal tendencies. The same hospital my grandfather had to go to and died in. And look, I had major mental problems. I was all messed up. Man, I went to psychiatrists, psychologists. I was on Depakote, Depakine, Prozac, Zoloft, lithium, Buspar, Xanax. Oh yeah, the youth. Did he just say Xanax? I had 123 visits in 9 months to a trauma specialist. Why? Because I was abused as a kid, sexually, physically, mentally. I was tortured. I was left for dead at 5 years old in a commercial cooler. You want to talk moral relativism? You talk to that pedophile that hurt me. There's got to be one plumb line for what is right and what is wrong. And it's this. It's God's word. Or else you're going to spend all day chasing stuff. So where do you stand today? Now, in my life, believe me, it was crazy, but God redeemed it. Because that's what's amazing. And that's the truth about craziness that happens. Although God doesn't cause it to happen, many times he allows it. Meaning he gives man free will. So the guy who locked me in the cooler wanted me to die, or the stepfather who abused me and all. That's man's choice to do evil. That's not God saying, I want this to happen. His heart's breaking. It broke for you when you went through bad stuff. Believe me, God's heart is a heart of love for you. And he cares for you. So does Jesus. And Jesus is alive. He was raised from the dead. And he's got power for you. If you surrender, you follow him. I tell people, being a Christian, this is not an easy. It's not easy. But life's not easy. I mean, it's all hard. Amen? Sometimes, man, those motivational speakers, everything's so great. They're not even being truthful. Like a guy had to come into my karate school tell me one time, you can't teach self-defense as a Christian because Jesus was a pacifist. I was like, you crazy. That sounded like Nacho Libre right there. You crazy. It's the Lord's chips. Sorry, I love that show. But this guy's like, no, you can't. Jesus, I said, man, I said, you've twisted scriptures. I said, Jesus, he's not coming back as a lamb. Come back as a lion. The full counsel of the word of God. And you know what? That guy, I told him, I said, you believe? And he said, turning the other cheek. I said, okay, I respect your belief if you really believe it. And then he wouldn't leave. And he brought in a sign, and he stood right in the middle of my dojo. And he was protesting us in my dojo. And he had his little guys behind him. I said, well, this ain't even, what? You think you're Gandhi or something, man? Get out of here. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll slap you. I'm going to slap you. I'm going to knock you down. And then I want you to turn the other cheek, okay? He was like, and his guys behind him like, yeah, show him. Show him, boss, you. So I went like this. The guy goes, hey, wait a minute. I said, oh, get out of here, girl. Get out of here, man. You lying. You don't even believe. You see, Jesus backed up what he believed. He said he loved you. He died for you. He died for me. And it's never about perfection. It's just about direction. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to know that when you die, you go to heaven? I'll close with this. I had a good friend of mine pass away here very, very recently. He was a young preacher, early 30s. He had brain cancer. They fought it, but it came back, and it just, it was everywhere. his left side shut down, and he's one of the bravest guys I've ever known. And you know what? This guy, I was with him, his family, they were all being prayed for. I was with him, and he's left side, and he's dozing off, and he's kind of fading. And out of nowhere, he goes like this: "The wrath of God!" And when he said it, I jumped. I went, "What? What? I want to pray." I was like, "What? That's why you say that so loud?" And you were out. Why? You know, he was barely talking. He wasn't talking the whole day. And then, wah! And then he rubbed his head and he goes, "It's satisfied by the cross of Jesus." I just went, and then he faded out. I just went, "Hey, if you were trying to brand my soul, dude, with the radical truth you just did." Because doesn't that what it boiled down to? The wrath of God, which is stored up for sinners who reject his son, Jesus, is satisfied by that cross. Oh, I hope you take advantage of the cross. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for each person here, God. I thank you for the power of your word, the simple scripture that is supernatural. It's sacred. And Father, I pray for every person here tonight, those watching, those listening. By the power of your Spirit, Lord, convict those that are not with you. Bring conviction to those that are away from you. Lord, bring strong conviction to those that despise you. And let them know that their hatred will never overcome your love. You love them, God. If that's you tonight, you'd say, "Victor, I feel like I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but I feel like God is speaking to me, and tonight is my night. Would you pray for me?" If that is you, I would love to pray for you. Just show me who you are by lifting your hand up real high. God bless you. God bless you and you and you. God bless you and you. Praise the Lord and you, buddy. All right. God bless you back there, too. Good. It's a good time to respond to God. Praise the Lord. Once you lift your hand, you can put it down. Anybody else, you say, "Victor, pray for me. I need to surrender my life to God tonight. Tonight's my night." Lift your hand up and I'll pray for you. Where are you at? God bless you, buddy. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. I see you back there. Good. And God bless you, buddy. Right on, right on. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. Then you say, "Victor, I know the Lord, but I'm caught in sin. I'm away from him. My heart's not fully devoted to him, and I know it. I'm straddling the fence, and I want to get off the fence, because actually it hurts. I want to get on one side or the other, because it's a hurricane fence." If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand up real high and then put it down? God bless you. God bless all of y'all. God bless all. It's a good night to fully surrender. Amen. That's a lot of hands. Praise the Lord. Good. Anyone else? Good. Hey, you got to get rid of your stuff. You got some drugs, get rid of it. You got a boyfriend or girlfriend that's wrong for you, you got to give them to the Lord and trust him. You got weird pornography stuff that you keep going to, you got to destroy it. Are you willing to be healed? God will do an amazing thing and give you peace, but you got to surrender. Anyone else? Pray for me, Victor. That's you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you too, buddy, in the back. All right, praise the Lord. Father, those that have indicated their need, I pray you would do a mighty thing in their hearts. You would change them from the inside out. You would set them free from that which afflicts and avails them to pain and hurt, Lord, and you would show them freedom because of you. Lord, I pray you'd cleanse and wash every person that needs it. You'd set their feet on a high rock, God. They would get out of the mud puddle. Lord, use these people for you. And if you raise your hand, just say this prayer. Say it out loud or quietly, but just say it. "Dear Jesus, please forgive me. I've done wrong, and I'm sorry. I love you. I surrender my life to you. I come back to you. You have all of me. And it's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen."